Hello and welcome to the very first of our NWSL preview shows for Women's Soccer Zone. My name is Kieran Tavam, and joining me throughout this series of previews, he's back after, well, I'm going to say missing last year, but he bailed on me last year, so I had to find a replacement. I had a very good replacement in Dan Laletta, my colleague from Equaliser Soccer, but I'm glad to have my deputy editor for Women's Soccer Zone back, JJ Duke. All right, mate.
I mean, if you're going to slam me like that, at least let me have a chance to defend myself. Gosh. Yes, I was busy. Other commitments and other jobs, full-time jobs, took my life over this time. But this is where my heart is. I am back. Let's do this. This was a great project that we started 2 years ago, and I think it's only gotten better and better throughout that series. And now the best is back.
Well defended. Well, look. We're going to kick off the first one with the Boston Breakers. We're not going to have any breaks. We're just going to dive straight in. They are alphabetically the first club to appear in the NWSL, and obviously they finished last in the league, so they are probably the side that we should kick off with. I mean, there's so much to discuss with the Breakers, isn't there, JJ? It reminds me a little bit of when Matt Beard came in at Liverpool Ladies, when he overhauled pretty much the whole squad and turned it into a championship-winning team. I don't think anyone is expecting the same. I don't think anyone is expecting them to go on and win the whole NWSL championship. But with what he's done compared to last season, I see a lot more of a competitive squad at his disposal this time round.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different factors you look at. And I'm going to look at, you know, this is a team that's looking to the future. We look at it, but I think it's really more of a collection of what Matt Beard has done to weed out what he doesn't want and then to bring in the players that he wants. Whenever you talk with Matt Beard, and I bet probably when you covered him when he was over in Liverpool, he always wanted and he always stated that he wants players that fits in his system. So he made big roster changes. 13 players that suited up last year, no longer on the team, just 8 returning from a year ago. And he's brought in a lot of different players, a lot of different skill sets. And I know we'll talk about this, but I think that is where it's really going to be somewhat fun and somewhat interesting to see how these new players can mix in and figure out the system.
I think that's going to be the key, isn't it? It's all very well having new players, but it's how quickly those players can gel as well, isn't it? The NWSL is quite an unforgiving league, and a bit like the FAWSL, which granted is a much shorter season, if you start slowly, it's very, very difficult to claw back that deficit, isn't it? And with so many new players, those individuals gelling and getting a quick start this year is going to be massive if they don't want a repeat of last season.
No, you're right. I mean, you know, their biggest knock was, well, two biggest knocks, but their bigger knock was defense. They let in 47 goals in 20 matches, which is never going to win you anything. I mean, you look at Western New York Flash, or the artist formerly known as the Western New York Flash last year, they thrived on scoring at least 2 goals per game. Well, if you give up 2 goals per game, if you want to have success, you're going to need to score more than that. I mean, that's elementary, but in the fact that they couldn't stop the ball. They just were broken down in so many different ways last year, and it wasn't even at times like tactically things weren't working. It was just in the sense that players are not playing in their best positions, and they're being exploited for it. And you know, that's, again, it's all about players buying into the system, players that have the ability to work into the system. They just didn't have it last year.
I think it would be fair to say that people gave Matt Beard a lot of leeway last year. He came in very late into that job as head coach of the Breakers. He didn't get a lot of time to prepare for the draft in 2016. He even admitted himself that it was all a learning curve for him last year. How much pressure is there on him this year now? Because he hasn't really got the excuse of, this isn't my team, these aren't my players. As you said, 8 players returning from last year, 13 have been ousted. There's a number of new players that we will go through shortly. He now has to get it right, doesn't he? Because if he doesn't, he's going to be under a lot of pressure.
Oh, for sure. I mean, 8 new signings plus 2 signed draft picks. I mean, that's a complete overhaul, at least in this, you know, age for the NWSL, where you're only allowed a max of 20 contracted players, 18 the minimum. I mean, that's more than half. That's really changing the landscape and the outlook of this team. So, yeah, I think there is pressure. not the pressure to say that he's automatically got to get himself and his team into the playoffs, though, again, you're never going to hear anybody saying, well, our goal isn't to win it. Our goal is to get better. No, everyone wants to win a championship. But with that being said, yeah, they need to have a positive season this year. There's no doubt about it.
So do you want to go through some of those new players and maybe the ones that you think are going to be important? I mean, there are a number in pretty much every position, isn't there? And one of the key things, I think, for Matt is that he's said on numerous occasions he likes to have players in his squad that almost think the way that he does and can kind of buy into his philosophy and work the way that he wants. And we've kind of joked in the past about bringing in players from his days at Liverpool. He obviously had Libby Stout last year. He had Louise Shilgard last year. He brought in Natasha Dowie. He's added to that. Louise Shilgard obviously won't be there this year, but we've seen Rosie White come in, who he had at Liverpool, Amanda Da Costa, who he had at Liverpool. That's going to be a big thing for him, isn't it? Because that's something that he's really key on.
Well, that's one of the things he was hoping out of Shilgard, was to really solidify that spine up the middle. I mean, you always talk about having your strengths. Matt Beard likes to work centrally. Last year, he had Libby Stout, as you said, in goal. Whitney Angen as your center half, who's no longer with the team this year. Then Shilgard, and eventually he got Dowie up front. So that was a pretty good spine. However, again, they just weren't clicking. But I think there's improvements throughout. Obviously, he won't have, you know, someone of his former tenure back at Liverpool in a center half position, but I like the group that they have in defense as a unit better than where they were last year. Now, were there individual players that may have been better? I think Cassie Coleman was one of those players that was very underrated. I think she did well in her time in Boston. Whitney Angen is always class, as we know. But I'm curious to see how this year's unit, especially in center back, because it's really up for grabs right now. Julie King probably stands out as that lone center back, but she can also play in other positions and move up the field if you need it. So I'm curious to see who tandems with her. And then when you have a player like Alicia Chapman out wide, could be fun to watch. Megan Oyster now obviously into the mix as well. There's a lot of moving pieces that I think could work well here.
Yeah, Alicia Chapman's one almost went a little bit under the radar, didn't it? I know that Canadian international, she's got a big profile, but I actually think that was one of the better moves in the off-season. I think she, as you say, fun to watch, good going forward and defensively. I think she had a good time out in Houston and still very important for the Canadian women's national team. You mentioned there Megan Oyster, and I've spoken highly of Megan a number of times. I've interviewed her a couple of times as well. Very articulate, very intelligent, and she translates that onto the pitch. I think if you're looking, let's be honest, if Jill Ellis is going to persevere with the free back that she had over the She Believes Cup in the end of last year, I've said it before, you need to look at established players in that centre-back position, and Megan Oyster is certainly one of those that stood out last year. Amanda Frisby obviously returns to the NWSL after winning a league title in Iceland, so she will be brimming with confidence coming into that side. I'm with you. I don't know how he's going to line them up. Kristen Westphal, after what can be described as a difficult first season as a rookie. I know she had some injury problems, but we know that she's got talent. She wouldn't have gone in the first round if she didn't. There's options in that back line, and I don't see them being anywhere near as leaky as they were last year.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing in it. And you can't blame it also on the goalkeeping either. They had some interesting moments. Obviously, Abby Smith, in her very brief time on the field, showed some good things and went down with a season-ending injury. Libby Stout most likely will be starting the season on the injured list. She came into preseason picking up a knock, so she's out 4 to 6 weeks there. And then Sammy Joe Prudhomme, I mean, that's the interesting story in it. Right at the end of the draft, Boston scoop her up. She won a national championship with USC and was pretty much an automatic clean sheet, match in and match out. So there's competition there as well. So I'm curious. That back line, it's going to be the big talking point for Boston this season, because as we learn with like a team like FC Kansas City, you might not win a whole lot of matches if you can't score goals, but you're certainly going to at least get points if you don't give up goals.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the defense. I mean, in the forward positions, I mean, they've obviously brought in Emily Harvey, who is now recovered from injury and will be, I think, a key player for them. Lots of experience despite being only in her early 20s, Norwegian international. I think she's got a big year. She'll obviously be looking to impress because she will be going to the Euros, hopefully for her, and having, well, we've said it before, having what we hope is a good year and a good tournament, because Norway, for me, are one of the favourites for that competition. Well, underdogs for that competition, with the players that they have available to them. I like the midfield, though, mate, and I like the midfield potential of looking at someone like Morgan Andrews and Rose Lavelle teaming up, because you've got two young players. Rose Lavelle obviously was the number one pick out of the draft. Morgan Andrews won a national title with USC. I think it could be quite promising seeing those two linking up.
And I think the big factor for me with those two is they are fearless in the midfield. They are not afraid to go at it, try to attack players 1v1. I think we're talking about, really, in that draft class, Kieran, of midfielders, two of the most technically gifted athletes from this past year's draft class. Rose Lavelle can do things with the ball that it drives defenders nuts, and it's also fun to watch because she likes to have fun out on the field, which is something that's enjoyable as well. And Morgan Andrews, I mean, I've said it before, that anecdote from 2012, her playing as an amateur player, going up against the Western New York Flash and having a day in the WPSL Elite. I knew then that she's going to be something special, and she is. She's, again, another technically gifted player, can operate with both feet, not afraid to go for goal, and also another player that loves to have a little bit of fun. Needed that after a couple of rough years at Notre Dame, but then refound the love of the game at USC. And it's always good to leave your collegiate career as a national champion. And she'll be, as you take the words from you, brimming with confidence going forward this preseason.
Like the emphasis on brimming there, mate. Very good. And obviously have Amanda DaCosta, who's maybe a little bit more of a holding midfielder. She will be that player that maybe is the more possession orientated, will maybe be the one that kind of starts the moves a little bit more. And we haven't even mentioned a player like Midge Purse, who was drafted very highly as well, and obviously very highly thought of in the US Women's National Team youth system. I like what they've got. I think Rosie White will add some quality, and they've obviously brought in Adriana Leon as well, the former Canadian international. Do I say former Canadian international? She's not retired, so obviously there's every chance she could get back in. But yeah, I mean, if we were to maybe stick our neck out, mate, I mean, I'm certainly not looking in these previews for us to make any bold predictions as to where they might finish. But I guess it's safe to say this team will finish better than last year, won't they?
Well, I mean, in terms of literal stature, they can only go up from last year. But yeah, no, I mean, you like to see teams that have good units. I mean, we've seen that with FC Kansas City in the years gone past, where they have good, solid teams. They don't have teams that just have, oh, we've got great individual standouts. They're a team that's not going to maybe be the flashiest on the field with star power, but they have strengths and limited weaknesses, at least on paper, throughout all positions. So a top half finish, Kieran, is not out of the realm of possibility for me. I think that they're a team that could finish fifth or above. It might be fifth. I'm not sure if they have enough right now to crack the top four, but then again, you never know. We're just going on paper at this point.
Yeah, we are, and I think the difficulty is you talk about Boston, and we'll be talking about the other teams in our other previews, and you kind of start to think, well, we talked about Boston, we look at their roster, it's a lot stronger than it was last year, they could finish in the top five, and then you start talking about other teams, and you kind of think, well, this team could do really well, and then you move on to the next one, and you kind of think, well, this team could do really well. Unfortunately, not every team can finish in the top five. That's the reality of it. Someone has to finish 10th, someone has to finish 9th. It was Boston that finished 10th last year, but I look at what they have. There's a lot more quality. If I were to point out maybe, and it's the very slight weakness that possibly might be there, is if Tash Dowie is marked out of a game, for example. I do wonder where the firepower comes from. I do rate Rosie White really highly. I saw her for Liverpool a number of times. She's not a kind of out and out number nine like Natasha Dowie is. I wonder if they have maybe a couple of injuries here and there, whether it might be up front that they struggle.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, you know, that's the other big thing that they had to address from last year, just 14 goals scored. And you look at that, Tash Dowie led the team in goals, but she played just a third of a season last year. So that's the interesting part. Where the goals are going to come from, it's going to be one of those by committee this year. I think Dowie will get her looks, and she'll probably, well, I think she will do better, at least in the goal category, obviously only limited time, but you'll take 3 goals in 7. You times that by, what, 3? They're playing 22 matches this coming season, some along those lines. So, you know, that could be good for a 9-goal season. If she can get close to that, maybe like 7 or 8, I think that's a good job. And you get a bunch of players with 3 goals, a couple with 4. You never know. It could be there.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. Well, I think we've spoken long enough. We'll take a little break, and then we'll come back, and we'll have an interview with one of the breakers. So we'll be back after this.
Women's Soccer Zone. Follow the show on Twitter at WOSOZone.
Welcome back to our Boston Breakers NWSL preview show here on WOSO Zone. JJ Duke here with you. And joining me now for our player interview is Amanda DaCosta. Amanda, thanks for taking a few minutes to chat with us.
No problem, JJ. Happy to do it.
At this recording time, it's almost 2 weeks into preseason. It's a bit of a new time for you, also a little bit of a old surroundings with you coming back to Boston. We'll get back to that in a little bit, but just curious to hear how things are going so far in preseason.
Yeah, I think everything has been going really well so far. The group is gelling together. We've gotten to spend a lot of time together doing double days, so I think everybody can relate to that on some level. But I think the level has been high. We've all been working extremely hard, and yeah, I think we're going to be a solid team to look out for this year.
Being a new player that comes into the team for a first time, especially with a team that has a lot of new faces coming in, tell us a little bit about the mentality that you need to have in terms of coming into a preseason with all these new things going around.
Yeah, I think that the answer on paper would be, you know, to make myself stand out, be competitive, and kind of make a name for myself right off the bat. But this is my 7th season now, and I've realized that the more that I'm just myself, the better that I end up showcasing myself, and the better I'm able to mix with my teammates, you know, get to know people. This way you're not putting any standoffish vibes or anything like that. So for me, it's really just kind of embodying everything that I am as a person and a player, and just staying true to that the whole way through. And I've been the new person on a new team for the past couple seasons, actually, with the Spirit, then with Chicago, and now I'm in Boston. So I've kind of had to experience that a lot, and that's kind of been my method of madness that I've been getting used to.
And not to throw any more wrinkles into it, but unlike a lot of other teams, in the Northeast, the Breakers especially have been hit hard with a big snowstorm recently, forcing the team to train inside, something that a lot of other teams don't have to deal with throughout the league. So tell us a little bit about how that's been going like, because obviously, again, you know, weather hasn't exactly been your guys' friend in the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, we have a great facility that we've been training at called Four Kicks, and the first couple of days, the Breakers put us up in a hotel that was really close to the facility. So right off the bat, for the first couple of days of preseason, we got to, you know, spend our meals together, kind of get to know all the new faces, had a really good structure right off the bat, and then, of course, we got snowed into the hotel together, so that added to a little extra unexpected team bonding. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a great facility. It has a huge indoor turf field, weight room, everything that you need. We train at turf over at Harvard anyway, so just, you know, being granted, we're not outside experiencing the different weather conditions, but once the weather warms up just a little bit more, I think we'll be right on pace with the rest of the NWSL.
Well, there's definitely no doubt that you guys are going to be itching to get back out onto an outdoor field as opposed to playing inside. But I'm curious to know, when you found out you got traded, what was that moment like for you? How much were you in contact with both parties, and really, what was kind of a determining factor that, you know, for you, this move had to happen?
To be honest, it was kind of kind of an expected decision. It was something that Rory Dames and I had discussed, something that I was discussing with Matt Beard, just everybody kind of knowing where I'm at in my career and knowing that I'm going to be having a unique season this year with the Euros. Maybe I'm a little closer to home over here in Boston. There was kind of a lot of factors that went into it, and Rory Dames really, you know, he really respects the players that he works with, and I was lucky enough to have somebody like him really honor what I needed, both as a player and as a person, to kind of let this move happen. Things are kind of coming a little bit full circle, coming over here and working with Matt. Obviously, I worked with him when I played in Liverpool for 2 years, as well as some other teammates over in England that I never thought I'd see again. So, you know, I think I wasn't surprised at all by the move, and just kind of, you know, taking everything in stride.
Yeah, and how was that like with your first coming back together with Matt and some of your old Liverpool teammates?
It was a lot of fun. You know, just we have a lot of memories together. We've been through a lot. Two seasons of being champions over in England, and neither championship came easy. So, you know, it was a lot of work all season long. And just to see everybody again was just, you know, a lot of fun. A lot of memories, nostalgia a little bit mixed into that. So, yeah, I've kind of just picked right up where we left off. So that was nice.
Through your two seasons playing at Liverpool and working with Matt, what was the biggest takeaway that you took from working with him? Because obviously, of course, clubs had so much success during his time there, winning a couple of league titles, as you said before, and getting into Champions League. There had to be something there that was special. So what was it that made that club stand out?
I think Matt is a huge emphasizer of just being a team, you know, that camaraderie as a team. And you kind of get that a lot with just the whole club of Liverpool. If you ever watch them, they're never a boring game to watch. Those men, like even the last game against Man City, it was just probably one of the best Premier League games I've ever seen. Well, you know, all that aside, Matt kind of embodies that, and I think he learned a lot of that from Brendan Rodgers at the time in Liverpool, and kind of just being in that environment. And that's kind of what made us so successful, is he was really able to kind of bring us together as a team, and he's so passionate about what he does, it can't really help but rub off on the players that he's working with. And that's such a huge thing when you have that, not only when you have talent, but when you have talent mixed in with a group of players who are really willing to do whatever they can to win. He kind of brought that out in us.
And I know it's a small sample size so far, just only being back with him in Boston for a couple of weeks, but have you seen anything correlating between your time there in Liverpool working with him along with being here in Boston? Talking to him last year, he said that there was definitely a learning curve coming over to the American game, but still, there must have been a couple of things that have definitely stood out between the two teams.
Yeah, I think the game is obviously so different, and there's definitely a learning curve. I think he was able to experience that already, and I think he's already grown as a manager, of course, just from experiencing something different, but I think he still withholds some of the main principles that kind of made him successful in Liverpool, maybe mixed in with a few different pieces here and there from his experience in the NWSL. So he's pretty consistent with what I knew of him, maybe just an even better version of himself.
Now, not only on the club level, this is going to be a big year for you, but also in the international level, you helped Portugal qualify for the Euros this coming summer after pretty much what was a wild two-legged affair in a playoff against Romania, where you had to go into extra time in the second leg and eventually won on away goals. Tell us what that experience was like for you.
That was kind of a crazy experience. I mean, I've been with Portugal for just a year, and so much has happened in that time. And that trip to Romania, both of the legs were, yeah, I mean, you put it perfectly. It was crazy. I think even the few matches that we had before then was crazy. I mean, we beat Ireland in the closing minutes of the match on a penalty kick that was actually a first attempt missed, and then on the rebound completed, and that's kind of what secured that playoff spot for us. And then, yeah, the game against Romania, you know, fought out to a tie and then had to go quick turnaround, fly over to Romania, and then we actually ended up pulling away. We even pulled away 1-0, actually, but it was the last, it was an overtime, yeah, at the very end. So it was just a whirlwind. Honestly, it happened so slowly but so quickly at the same time. And just knowing that I was a part of something historical for a country that that my family came from that I'm now representing, it really meant a lot. And yeah, it brought out some tears in me, because it was quite an emotional ride being over there and, you know, experiencing all of that.
And tell us a little bit about what the mood is like in the team camp right now after Portugal qualified as a country for the Euros for the first time. Still a little while to go before the tournament begins, but you've played a few matches. Where is the team right now at this point, knowing that it's going to be a tough group ahead of them, but still always a possibility of moving on to the knockout stages?
I think everyone's just extremely excited, but we definitely have a lot of growing to do as a team still. We're, you know, trying to figure out the right formula now that we're going to be going to the Euros. At the Algarve Cup, we had a pretty disappointing showing for our standards. We did have some stiff competition, and some players had injuries here and there. So it was kind of a rough tournament. I think we were looking forward to it because we had done so well in the qualifiers, and such a huge thing had happened. I think a lot of the country was kind of finally looking at us. So that was a little bit of a letdown, but I think it was kind of important that we went through that, because now I think we're even more focused and more driven to getting our training better and becoming more of a team the next few times that we can get together, so that we can try to compete in these group stages. And I know we're up against, you know, some solid competition. I mean, Scotland, England, Spain. It's kind of a tough one for us, but we're a hard team to win against. We think we showed that qualifying. We drew a lot of games because we're pretty resilient. So hopefully we do what the men do and tie our way through to a championship with that grit. But, you know, just one game at a time, I think, is the plan for that.
Well, any result in a result-based business is always a good thing. So, you know, with that in mind, tournament's still a few months away, but coming back to Boston, this is not the first time that you've played with the Breakers before. You suited up for them back in the 2012 WPSL Elite season, a year where there was no full-time professional league between WPS and obviously the NWSL, but still a memorable year nonetheless. What were some of the experiences that you had from that year that made that season so special to you?
For me, that was a really important year because, I don't know if you remember, on the back end of that, I was actually with Magic Jack, which was a less than ideal opportunity for me, especially for my rookie year. So going into Boston, I was a little bit broken down mentally, kind of questioning my decision to play soccer even at that point, and really having a letdown with that experience. So going to Boston was important to me because it was kind of a make or break year. Either it was going to go well and I was going to, you know, regain my passion again for the sport, or it wasn't going to go well and I don't know where I'd be right now. But thankfully it went well. I had a great experience in Boston. I love playing for the Breakers. The club has been so committed to their team for so many years. I think we're the longest standing professional organization for the women's side of things. So yeah, I mean, it was a great opportunity. And then ironically enough, it led me to Liverpool, which is where I met Matt, and now back here again. So it's kind of funny how things work out. Just goes to show just to never really give up on yourself, even in times of darkness or uncertainty.
Absolutely. And as you said, this takes a kind of full circle coming back here to Boston. And to wrap things up, new season for the Breakers, a little bit of a disappointing year last year in terms of the results and the placing in the standings. But with all these new faces coming in, what is going to be the big thing that people need to watch out for with the Breakers and some of the themes that we can expect coming into this year?
Well, I think right now our motto is Breakers Strong, and for the players of Boston Breakers, that means a lot more than just someone else on the streets hearing it. But basically, we're going to be a team. We're going to work hard. We're going to be resilient. We're going to be gritty. And then within that, we're going to be able to play some really good soccer. We have some young blood that's ready to make a big splash on the stage, and we have some veterans mixed in too. So, you know, I think it's going to still be a transitionary year, but I think we might surprise a few people with that, as long as we, you know, stay true to our motto and to ourselves. And like I was describing Matt before, and the way he was with Liverpool, is that he pulls that out of you as a team. So I think that the matchup is good between player and manager, and should be interesting.
Absolutely. Well, Amanda, thanks for taking the time to chat with us. We really appreciate it, and that's going to do it here for our NWSL preview of the Boston Breakers here on WOSO Zone. Thanks for tuning in, and make sure to stay tuned for more previews as we lead up towards the 2017 National Women's Soccer League season. Until next time, goodbye for now.